Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Now, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney, joined in studio as always by my extremely attractive audio engineer. Extremely, did I say extremely attractive? You people have no idea. But this is the show. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus your attention on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And our long national nightmare is slowly drawing to a close. My extremely attractive audio engineer and I are completing. Tomorrow we will be completing 30 days in the hole. Sometimes driving home, I erupt into that song. And all the girls in the car laugh. It's great. But yeah, it's been a 30-day sentence. Cleaning up after hippies is a dirty job. For those of you who may not have tuned in over the past few weeks, we had some white trash hippies destroy our rental property, or virtually destroy it, through a combination of tobacco smoke and just sheer negligence and downright unneighborliness, not letting us know that things were falling apart because, I don't know, they had something to hide, the fact that they were filthy hippies. Anyway, have any of you in the audience, can we take a poll? Everyone with popular, it's popular to take a poll these days, what with the elections and all. Maybe we should send this to Frank Luntz. Frank Luntz. What did Donald Trump say about Frank Luntz? That guy's a low life. He's just, you put that guy in a $5,000 suit, he looks like he just rolled out of bed wearing that suit. Actually, I think I said that. Maybe I'll send that to Trump. It almost sounds like a Trumpism. Anyway, we should send this poll question to Frank Luntz. How many of you have ever used a rake on carpet? How many? I'm guessing it's a very small percentage. But we have. We have used a rake on carpet. And that was just so we could get down to the carpet to tear it out so that we could replace it all. But our long national nightmare is slowly drawing to a close. We will probably finish cleaning up after these hippies on the same day that Hillary Clinton drops out of the campaign or suspends her campaign. That probably coincide. That's how fast the end of our nightmare is approaching. We're almost there. Yeah. So the other night, my extremely attractive audio engineer was chiseling out broken tiles. Anybody ever done that? That's not a fun job. And people have asked, Doug, why don't you just hire somebody to do all this stuff? It's because I don't know anybody competent enough to do it who isn't already working, for crying out loud. And I don't want to hire somebody who's not working because they're a loser and I don't have a lot of time. And I've noticed that if you hire people, you pretty much have to watch them all the time. So if you're going to have to be there, might as well just do the work. Yeah, or you have to redo the work that they did that you paid them for. And besides, me and my crew, we do as good a work as anybody. Frankly. And since we're going to have to be there anyways, we're just doing it ourselves. Anyway, I had this brilliant idea. I said, my dear, I will go and watch a video on the secret to easily removing tile. Well, it turns out there isn't one. We were hoping it would be vinegar. Because vinegar has been the solution for a number of our problems. As we've been cleaning up after these hippies. Vinegar is a very versatile chemical, I tell you what. Very impressive. But vinegar was no match for Jorge's tile installation job. He did a good job. Now, that guy was a good worker. What was his name? It wasn't Jorge?
No.
Geraldo? Vivian?
Yeah. Anyway.
Miguel? Jose? I just remember the guy was good, and he was fast. And I'll tell you what, getting his tiles. I don't know how these hippies broke those tiles. They must have been dropping bowling balls in there. Yeah. Anyway, there is no secret to easily removing tile.
The thing is, you don't. We do want to remove everything.
Well, that's the thing. We only wanted to remove tile in the middle of other tiles, and that's the worst. I advise you don't even try it. Just rip the whole thing up.
Oh, my God.
Or be prepared to sacrifice your wrists, your knuckles, your upper and lower back, and several vertebrae in your neck if you're going to try that. But my extremely attractive audio engineer got the job done. Thank you very much. All right, so that takes care of the hippies and the ongoing saga. We've covered anything worth mentioning about Hillary Clinton. That's for, oh, you know this. What I was thinking the other night, as I was cleaning the filth out of the master bathroom, 5-piece bath, by the way, with walk-in closet in beautiful Westminster, close to shopping and home, close to shopping and work. I mean. And it's available pretty much right now. So if you know anybody who's looking for housing in the Northwest metro area, please have them give us a call. Smokers need not apply, okay? But I was thinking the other night as I'm wallowing in filth that, you know, cleaning up after hippies is a dirty job, a dirty job, and I think even Mike Rowe would have actually thrown up on day one. In that house, I think he would have puked. They would have had to clip the segment and cut out the part where Mike Rowe physically hurled. It was that bad. Yeah, we should send him. I don't know. Is he doing that show anymore? Now he's doing something on CNN. CNN has given up on the news. They've decided to go pretty much entertainment, and some of what they're doing is interesting. The 70s I could live without. They're doing a retrospective on the 70s, which is mostly serial killers and radical, crazy, foam-at-the-mouth feminists. It's amazing that America survived the 70s. So for all of us out here who are concerned that the country is about to be sucked down into a sinkhole, remember, we made it through the 70s, so there's a good chance we can make it through this too. We just need, well, the Christians have to stick together, that's all. All right. Should we get to the news? I'll get to the news of the week through the lens of original. You may not be able to detect it, but I'm a bit exhausted because I'm not used to physical labor. I have worked assiduously over the past 15 years to avoid physical labor, and I can tell. Although I will admit that the combination of stress and physical labor related to cleaning up after the hippie white trash. I've dropped about 10 pounds. I've dropped 8 or 10 pounds in the past month without even trying. I have not changed my diet. If you people want to lose weight, get yourself a rental and rent it to some lying hippies from Texas.
You can die from stress.
That's true. The stress may kill you, but then you really lose a lot of weight. All right, so there was a drone sighted over Barry Ho in South Florida. What do you think he was doing in South Florida? Yeah, he was playing golf, of course. I've got a story here from the Palm Beach Post. The Secret Service has gotten themselves involved in a drone sighting back in March because the drone was flying near Barry Ho. Barry Ho, by the way, is our pet name for the President of the United States. We feel that it reflects all of his ethnic diversity, both the white part and the black part and the Hawaiian part. Now, we don't have anything in there for the Indonesian part. I don't think he's blood Indonesian, though. I can't remember. I don't think that communist Frank, the guy who we think is his dad, I can't remember his name. Do you remember his name? The communist agitator from the 60s and 70s, who we think is Barry Ho's dad. Frank, anyway, I don't think he was Indonesian. But Barry Ho is what we call him. He's the president, at least at the moment. And apparently there was a drone flying near Barry as he played golf in Martin County, Florida. Local drone incidents are happening at a rate of about once a month now. Not over Barry, not yet. But I predict that there will be a drone incident involving Barry Ho. Because it's got to be a very tempting target for nutcases and jihadists as well. To try to get a drone near Barry Ho and just scare him so he wets his pants. That's probably going to happen before he leaves the White House. Something with a drone and Barry Ho. Drones, by the way, according to the Palm Beach Post, Drones have crashed on the White House lawn in two separate incidents. Now, FAA restrictions, for all you drone operators out there, they prohibit drones near places like the White House and airports, and they're not supposed to go to altitudes over 400 feet. But the FAA report regarding this drone over Barrie shows that those rules are being broken regularly. And why are those rules being broken regularly? For the same reason all the other rules are being broken regularly, is because there simply is not adequate punishment for breaking the rules anymore. Starting from the president right on down, you're allowed to break the rules, and with right down to the average rapist and armed robber and a burglar. I mean, you're just allowed to do these things without fear of ultimate punishment, and that's what we need. And I'll talk about that a little later in the broadcast as we move forward. But this drone did not get close enough to clip Barrie Ho's ears. But I'm afraid if this whole drone situation isn't reined in by a good solid criminal justice system, that somebody's going to do something with a drone that's going to scare the president and the rest of us. And that's the last thing you want to see happen. But our justice system and the proctocracy that has built an infrastructure to maintain a certain level of crime and violence, bloodshed, lawlessness, I'm afraid they're helpless to do anything about it, and I think they really don't want to do anything about it because they're making a fairly handsome living regulating the crime that they have built the infrastructure in order to facilitate. That's the lawyers in the legislatures in all 50 states, by the way. The lawyers in the courthouses, the legislatures, the state houses, all of them. The proctocracy. Yeah. So anyway, if the president gets beamed by a drone, you can blame it on a lawyer somewhere who got some drone operator off instead of punishing him to the full extent of the law. All right. Now, in news for your health, The French press agency is reporting that if you are planning to attend the Hajj in Mecca, you should be prepared for the MERS coronavirus infection. You need to prepare yourself because for some reason in Saudi Arabia, there are a ton of MERS coronavirus infections heading into this wonderful celebratory season of the Hajj for Allah. So if you're planning to go, and how many of us, I mean, doesn't everybody want to go at least once? Come on, right? Saudi Arabia with the hot, the heat, and the dust, and the sweat, and the funk, and the fungus, and the sweaty feet. Who wouldn't want to do that? Run around in circles and get crushed by 150,000 wild, mad pagans? All the time, the whole place stinks like a gay bar or something? Who wouldn't want to attend that? Well, if you're planning to attend, be careful. At least 46 people, including hospital staff, have contracted the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. The health ministry there in Riyadh has said it has registered 21 confirmed MERS infections, all of them right there in the city of Riyadh. Saudi Arabia, according to the French press agency, is preparing to host more than 2 million Muslims for the annual Hajj to Mecca and Medina. It starts on September 21st, so bring your MERS coronavirus kit if you're going to be attending the Hajj. I don't know if they have metal detectors or what kind of security they have at the Hajj. I think you're allowed to fire AK-47s into the air at a certain point, so they will probably let you carry your MERS emergency treatment kit in there with you if such a thing exists. But that's just, we like to be of public service here at the Weekly Worldview. So for all of our audience members planning to attend, there you go. Now, if you are planning to celebrate Halloween, which we do not do here at the McBurney Compound, not because that we're some radical religious fanatics. We just find the celebration of darkness and death and blood and ugly things and like the living dead, we find that unattractive. And so do our children, because that's how we've raised them. They have no interest in Halloween. They like to dress up as kitties. Maybe they'll do a Hello Kitty or a princess or what else? We have a cat costume. That's all I can remember. But we don't go door to door. I mean, we have upon occasion.
I mean, they don't do a character.
Yeah, they don't dress up as character. For example, none of our children, of course, none of our children are boys, so they probably wouldn't be interested in the new Caitlyn Jenner costume. It's apparently a big success. According to TheWrap.com, a Halloween costume depicting former Olympian and reality TV personality Caitlyn Jenner is gaining in popularity. While it's gaining in popularity, that means people are buying it. There is outrage on social media. Outrage. Many people are expressing their distaste for the costume offering. Now, the manufacturers say that it's a unisex costume. It can be worn by a boy or a girl, just like all of the clothes that Bruce Jenner currently has in his closet. And the costume recreates Jenner's look when he debuted as a mentally deranged sex pervert on the cover of Vanity Fair in front of God and everybody in June of this year, complete with shorts, a padded top, a wig, and a sash that reads, "Call me Caitlyn." And it's all the rage out there for all of you out there who celebrate a Halloween. Now, Twitter is ablaze with expressions of anger about the costume, with some people calling it disgraceful, hurtful, and transphobic. But many more people are actually buying the costume. Why? Because it's funny. We gotta come back. It's the Weekly Worldview. I just wanted to make sure we got our full complement of saxophone on the broadcast. We have a certain amount that we are required monthly by the FCC, a certain amount of saxophone, and I believe we have met that requirement at least for the month of August, which is rapidly drawing to a close. And as long as we're talking about Bruce Jenner, let's talk about Pope Francis. Yes, that's a good segue. Trust me, it's from the Bad Religion file. Let's see, where should I start? There's a lesbian author. She writes books, children's books, dealing with same-sex families. And her books recently, well, she wrote a letter to the Pope because some of her books had come under fire, she says, from Christian groups. That's because Christian parents found out that teachers in the public schools in Italy had been reading books like Why You Have Two Mommies, which this lesbian author wrote. And the books have been removed from many of the government school factories there in Italy. And the lesbian was offended because the Christians were offended. And so the lesbian wrote a letter to the Pope, and the Pope sent his blessing to the lesbian author and her wife. Yes. Now, Let's see, what did the Pope say? In his message, the Pope wished the two dykes, quote, ever more fruitful work in the service of young generations and in spreading authentic human and Christian values. Why you have two mommies, the Pope calls an authentic Christian value, proving that Pope Francis is obviously mentally deranged and probably some sort of schizophrenic, mentally ill person. Because, I mean, some days I agree with the Pope. He says good things. And then other days he writes a letter blessing two lesbians who write books poisoning the minds of children, teaching them that homosexuality is normal and good. The dyke's name is Francesca Pardi. She wrote back to the Pope there. And she says of her books, quote, my books present a different type of family, many different types of families, without setting any of them up as a model, unquote. That's the lesbian there. So she says she's not setting any kind of family up as a model. Not, you know, like God did in Genesis in the beginning, he said there should be a mother and a father, and they should have children. See, God set that up in the beginning of the Bible as a model. But these lesbians are obviously much more progressive and evolved than is the living God, because they say, no, even the nuclear family's not a model. Two mommies, two daddies, a live-in roommate, a goat. No, it's none of it's a model. We just want to present it. That's all. They say books are to be read, and then you can agree or disagree. Just discuss them. Don't ban them. So third graders are hearing that having two mommies or two daddies or a sheep or whatever, it's a family, you know, and there's no model. So that in and of itself is damnable. But and frankly, the Pope should have told this pair of dykes that just presenting homosexual couples as normal undermines actual normalcy. And it establishes homosexuals as models, whether they like it or not. That's what they're doing. And they just said this to the Pope because he's some kind of moron, I guess. And so he sends them his blessing. Is there anything else? Well, Vatican officials scrambled to clarify that the Pope's blessing of the dykes who write books for third graders does not signal any change in church teaching on the subject. And then they reminded everyone that there will be a Vatican Synod in October, which will seek to find compromise on issues like homosexuality and other divisive issues, mainly homosexuality. And maybe abortion. They might compromise on that too. But mainly it's going to be about homosexuality. And I have a feeling that probably at every synod since 1950, one of the main topics has been homosexuality, whether publicly or privately. That's kind of a mean barb to throw at our Catholic brethren and sistren, but hey, let's face it. The priest molestation scandal. Well, it is what it is. I'm sorry. And the popes have been letting it happen for the better part of three quarters of a century. And it's about time someone spoke up. And, tell the Pope, just shut up. You know what? Donald Trump has liberated me. The Pope is an idiot who should shut his mouth if he doesn't understand what the Bible says about sins that lead to death, like homosexuality and the murder of innocent people. That's all. Just shut up, Pope. We don't need your commentary, and we don't need a synod to teach us what the Bible taught us in the first six chapters of the book of Genesis. All right? Most of us were smart enough to pick that part up. It was fairly obvious to me even when I was in third grade. Meanwhile, ladies and gentlemen, Planned Parenthood is all upset, and they have issued a letter to Congress because, you know, Congress says they're going to investigate. Oh, yes. Congress is going to investigate, and they're going to get to the bottom of whether or not the abortionists followed all the rules that Congress has for butchering children and selling their parts. Yes, Congress has rules for that. They've set rules on how to butcher children, how you can't butcher them, how you can, and how you can sell their parts legally. And Congress is pretty sure that they violated some of those baby butchering rules that you and I elected officials to go up and write rules on how to dissect and dismember children, remove their organs. So I don't remember electing anyone to do such a thing, but it's happened. Why? Well, because of the proctocracy. We've been electing too many lawyers. And I know that's a broad brush, but I think in the long view of history, when we look back on how in the world did the most civilized Christian nation on the planet begin legally murdering their children, then dismembering them, then selling their body parts, and eventually consuming their body parts, because that's what's going on. They say this is all just research, but I don't buy it. I don't know why you need 30 livers a week. Is there that much research going on fetal liver issues? I think not. I think when we get to the bottom of what's going on with these children, we're going to find out that there are other people are consuming these children in various ways. And it's horrifying to think about. So Congress is threatening to defund Planned Parenthood for not following the baby butchering rules. And Planned Parenthood has now fired off a letter to congressional leaders, including a report by experts it hired, who found that the undercover videos of officials discussing fetal tissue for research were heavily altered by anti-abortion activists. And we all know that we all hate anti-abortion activists. You know who hates anti-abortion activists the most? Mitch McConnell, John McCain, who's the other guy? Oh, John Boehner. They're the ones who hate us the most. I'm one of them. Yes, I am a anti-abortion activist. Yeah, I'm more anti-abortion than I am pro-life, because being pro-life is fairly obvious. I haven't killed myself or anyone else, so pro-life is like a default position. Now, I'm fond now of calling myself an abolitionist, along with others. And I have some inside news that I may be able to get to later. I may not be able to get to it. It's probably something that the fella doesn't want me to discuss in public. But anyway, let's get back. Lawmakers recently, you'll remember, unsuccessfully tried to strip Planned Parenthood of federal funding. That effort failed in the Congress. Why? Well, because of the aforementioned Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, and others, the ones who hate the abolitionists. But the AP reports that some conservatives are now vowing to vote down must-pass legislation to fund the federal government this fall, unless it strips money for Planned Parenthood, raising the specter, according to the AP, raising the specter of a government shutdown over the issue. Ladies and gentlemen, if millions of innocent people are being slaughtered in our midst every year, is that not reason enough to shut the government down for a day or two and discuss this issue? I mean, this is America after all. If you're going to shut down the government, what better issue is there to shut the government down over than the murder of innocent people? And then, of course, the butchering, the dissecting, the dismembering, and the selling and the consumption of the body parts. We could talk about all that as well. But it needs to be talked about. And I think that if the government were shut down, all these bastards running it would have time to be properly introduced to the issue and told what to think about it. All right. Let's see. Planned Parenthood. Yeah, they sent their letter. Listen to this. At issue. The issue with Congress? At issue is a federal law that prohibits abortion providers from profiting from the sale of fetal tissue or inducing someone to have an abortion to provide the tissue, or altering the abortion procedure in any way to harvest fetal tissue, which is used for a variety of medical research. First of all, the fact that we have rules for doing this is astonishing to me, and it's criminal. Someone should be put on trial for allowing this to happen. Well, I guess we're not a third world banana republic. I guess we can't put them on trial after the fact. I'll just say that this has to stop, okay? This must stop. And they say that this fetal tissue, by the way, that's heart, liver, lungs, eyeballs, brains of tiny little innocent children who look just like children. You look at a 10-week baby, they got fingers, fingernails, fingerprints. They got fingers and toes, nostrils, just like you and me. And the AP calls it fetal tissue. Well, keep in mind what fetal tissue and a variety of medical research, like what? I'd like to know what the hell people need baby parts to do research. How is that? Because I'm not buying it. I don't believe it. I think they're lying. I think they're making money. And because just like their father from the beginning, They were liars and murderers. And I am your host, Doug McBurney. So glad to have you with us. Even in the light of that horrifying, brutal, ugly, vicious story regarding Planned Parenthood and the congressional partnership to kill, dismember, and then sell the parts of the murder victims. It's horrifying. Should I talk about... Will I get to anything political? I don't know if I have any... I don't have anything on the presidential race because it really doesn't interest me. So I may not have another opportunity. I think I'll have to say this. I saw a private email from Mike Huckabee to a friend of mine. Did I say Mike Huckabee? I think I was supposed to say an unnamed presidential candidate. So pretend you didn't hear the name Mike Huckabee. I saw an email from an unnamed presidential candidate to a friend of mine indicating that Mike Huckabee has come around fully to the understanding of the personhood of the unborn child and that Mike Huckabee is preparing to do something fairly dramatic regarding the murder of innocent children. And I'm thankful for what I read. This was a private email. This wasn't just for public consumption. I'm very encouraged that perhaps the Planned Parenthood videos have shaken some people out of either their complacency or their apathy or their ignorance and brought them to face to face with the fact that they are part of a generation that is participating in the greatest criminal act in all of human history. And at some point, that's got to freak everyone out, and we've got to scare the hell out of people, literally, by telling them, showing them the truth, and letting them know what they're actually involved in, because many would repent if they actually knew, and if they knew there was going to be a penalty for it. Meanwhile, let's go to, I did go down to, not to the Planned Parenthood clinic, but I went out in the streets this again today with a sign, which I haven't done in a long time. Probably a year since, maybe. A year since I've done anything like that. But I carried a sign with a giant picture of a 10-week-old embryo in utero with the fingers and the toes and the nostrils and the eyeballs and the fingerprints that I mentioned before. And it had the words human being. And that's what I did. I went out in the streets with other abolitionists to try to remind people that these are human beings. We got a lot of thumbs up, actually. I was pleasantly surprised. Only two post-abortive, mentally deranged freaks yelled at us. And I would say dozens, if not 100 or more people, gave us thumbs up. So there is hope, and we shall never give up. But meanwhile, the Supreme Court has been called upon in the case of the Rowan County clerk down in Kentucky. You've probably heard the story if you're paying attention to such things. Rowan County clerk Kim Davis had refused to issue marriage licenses to homosexuals. Why? Because she is a Christian. It is fairly obvious. And if you remember the Supreme Court's opinion that they gave, they issued an opinion, and you know everybody's got an opinion. You know about opinions, right? Everybody's got one. All right. And the Supreme Court issued their opinion stating that, hey, there will still be protection for religious people. They wrote it right in the opinion. Well, that was their opinion, that they were going to somehow split the child in half. They were going to legalize homosexual marriage, but then still offer protections to people who didn't want to participate. And now they have been called upon to back that up or admit that they were lying, because Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis last Friday filed an emergency application to the U.S. Supreme Court asking for a stay in the August 12th injunction handed down by a U.S. district judge that ordered her to resume issuing marriage licenses. She is citing religious objection, which is what the Supreme Court said, in their opinion, you could still have. Davis, Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis, has bravely refused to issue any marriage licenses since the Supremes vomited out their opinion on homosexual marriage 2 months ago. So the sad thing is here, she's decided she can't issue any marriage licenses. Why? Because she's terrified. She's going to lose her job. Her lawyer says that the same-sex marriage mandate demands that she either fall in line or leave office, leave her livelihood and her job for 3 decades in the clerk's office. That's according to her lawyer from the Liberty Council. Now, a Rowan County attorney, another one, a pro-homosexualist, asked the attorney general in Kentucky to appoint a special prosecutor to go after this lady and determine if she's guilty of official misconduct so he could get her fired. Another lawyer, a homosexualist lawyer, wants to get her fired. And the accusations he's made against her, if she were convicted, she could be jailed for up to a year and fined up to $500. And she would lose her job because she won't bow down, she won't take the mark, she won't fall in line. So she has asked the Supreme Court to put up or shut up. And we'll see what the Supreme Court says, because her application was submitted to one Elena Kagan, a very masculine, handsome woman, by the way, Elena Kagan, appointed by Barry Ho and one of the 5 homosexualist justices to vote with the majority in their opinion on same-sex marriage this summer. So Elena Kagan has basically been put in a position by this county clerk that she's going to have to defend the verbiage in their opinion that there would still somehow be the ability for people with religious objections to opt out of participating in homosexual marriage, although they left that fairly vague. Well, they're going to have to sharpen their pencil up there at the Supreme Court and figure this one out. And I can't say what they'll do. I can't make a prediction, because they're mentally deranged sex perverts. The majority of the Supreme Court are mentally deranged sex perverts, and they're old and addled of mind, drug-addled and otherwise. So you just never know what they might do. They'll try to divide the child again. By the way, for all of you unchurched, that's a reference to Solomon. You should look it up. I believe it's in the book of 1 Kings. 2 Kings? Solomon 2 Kings? 2 Kings. Let's see. Now we go to the culture file from the world of entertainment. A U.S. district judge overturned Utah's ban on polygamy last December. Do you people remember this? Well, I do. So this U.S. district court judge issued his opinion that polygamy should be allowed, and for some reason everyone in Utah fell in line and said, well, there's polygamy now because this one judge, this mentally deranged sex pervert in a robe, has said that there should be polygamy, so everyone says, well, there has to be polygamy. The judge said so. As if the judge is speaking to us from Mount Sinai through the burning bush. Please, people, come on. These judges, a Supreme Court is not the supreme being. I think that's a Mike Huckabee quote that I think he got from a friend of mine, by the way. I was glad to hear that. So this judge overturned Utah's ban on polygamy back in December. We've moved on to another story, by the way, just so you know. And at the time, he did not mention homosexual marriage in his ruling. It was not mentioned. But now the family of Cody Brown has answered Utah's appeal to reinstate the ban on polygamy. And in their family brief, they say there should be polygamy because the Supreme Court says that there can be homosexual marriage. That's right. You know Cody Brown, by the way, don't you? Most of you probably don't, because the show is not very highly rated, because it's really disgusting and creepy to watch. Sister Wives, have you seen this show? I tried to watch a part of it just so I could understand what's going on. And for some reason, I felt like I needed a penicillin shot and a shower after like 3 minutes. It was just really gross. Well, their attorney, Jonathan Turley, is citing recent rulings affirming homosexual marriage. Rulings? These aren't rulings, Mr. Turley. You're a lawyer. They're opinions. These are all opinions. These judges who think they can rule from the bench, they need to find out they can't. And what we need is a governor, a sheriff, or other magistrates to just stand up and tell these people, no, we're not going to do things that are counter to the Constitution and contrary to the laws of nature and nature's God. I'm sorry, we're just not going to do it. And if you want to fight about it, we'll fight you. We'll fight you legally. We'll fight you culturally. We'll fight you in every way we can, and we shall never give up. And I'm hoping that I'm feeling out there that there are some politicians who are waking up to the fact that this is a time in history for one man to stand up and lead the people and show them the way and stop the slaughter of the innocents and stop the perversion and corruption of our youth by mentally deranged sex perverts demanding that they be married publicly and affirmed and even be allowed to march naked down the street in a parade. I mean, what has happened, people? I think it's like a really bad bender that an alcoholic goes through, and he wakes up 3-4 days later and he's like, how did that happen? I think that's how we're going to feel at the end. We're going to look back and say, I can't believe that I didn't know that was happening, or I didn't care, or I didn't see it. It's just, anyway, the time is coming. The time is ripe. This is a very pregnant time in American politics, a very pregnant time. So let me get back to the polygamists in Utah. They're citing, of course, homosexual marriage. They cite the Supreme Court case of Obergefell versus Hodges, a couple of homosexuals who want to get married before the one dies of AIDS. And they also cite Lawrence v. Texas, where the Supreme Court claims they decriminalized gay sex. They had an opinion that sodomy was fine. It was freedom of expression. That was their opinion. And for some reason, the whole country falls in line. You know what it is? It's that these lawyers are taking advantage of the fact that most people are self-absorbed sinners who are interested in their own lustful pleasures. And when these judges rule these way, the people just ready to fall in line, especially the politicians. They're the worst, with the cheating and the lying and the adultery and the homosexuality and you name every kind of perversion and corruption. It's headline in Washington, D.C. every night. That's what's going on. So that's why our politicians fall in line behind these evil, wicked rulings, is because they themselves are evil and wicked and corrupt. So when a district court says it's okay to be evil, wicked, and corrupt, what do you expect the proctocracy to do? They fall in line. They take the mark because that is who they are.
The wreck is going down.
It's the Weekly World View. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Speaking of all of that, let's go to the Ashley Madison story, where the CEO of Ashley Madison stepped down this week, not because he has any shame, but because the company is probably running out of money, and they can't pay him anymore, because Ashley Madison is finished. And the BBC is reporting that two individuals associated with the leak of Ashley Madison data have apparently taken their own lives. Yes. So, this confirms to me that the hack and the data that was released was real. Not a hoax. This was not a hoax. And that there were real people using Ashley Madison, and a couple of them have apparently killed themselves. Why? Because adultery is a capital crime. The reason it's a capital crime is because adultery produces in people's psyches a break that is so powerful that they can kill other people or themselves over it. That's why adultery is a capital crime. So the hoax, the hack was not a hoax, it was real. Ashley Madison, according to the BBC, Ashley Madison's Canadian parent company, Avid Life Media, were offering $500,000 for a reward for information leading to the capture of the hackers. But that they were offering that before they went broke. They're not offering that anymore, or even if they are, they can't pay it. I expect them to shutter their doors within 90 days. One detective says that the breach was very sophisticated from the Technological Crime Unit of the Toronto Police. Credit card data was included in the original data dump. See, credit card data is something that you can't deny. When someone's got the last four of your credit card and your address and your email, it's like two or three witnesses and your wife ain't buying it and she knows you did it. Right? So it was real. And it was designed to expose people. Investigators believe this was limited to the last four digits of the main card number. So these guys weren't out to make money or steal credit cards. They didn't release the data that other people could use to commit fraudulent transactions. Whoever hacked Ashley Madison wanted to expose cheaters, not steal money. The hack had already led to a series of spin-off crimes and further victimization. Criminals have already been engaging in online scams, claiming to provide access to the leaked website. So here's the thing. Once something like this happens, you've got other nefarious types who will scam the people who are paranoid that their data's going to leak or their wife's going to find out. And they get scammed because why? Because they're guilty. And they've put themselves in a position where they can basically be blackmailed, tricked, defrauded, lied to, used, and thrown in the trash. You know, like they were doing in their adulterous affairs. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. Well, I don't know if it's unfortunate, actually. Turnabout is fair play, as they say in the UK. The unfolding of the hack was also detailed at a conference from the moment on July 12th when several Avid Life Media employees logged onto their computers and were confronted by a message from the hackers. The message was accompanied by music. Can you imagine coming into your Ashley Madison office first thing in the morning? You open up your computer, and on it is a message from the hacker saying you are about to be destroyed, accompanied by AC/DC's Thunderstruck. Well, one thing about the Ashley Madison hackers, I don't know all the details, but at least they have style. And apparently they're not thieves. If you're not familiar with AC/DC's Thunderstruck, well, you should listen to it and imagine yourself. It sounds like almost every other AC/DC song. Don't get me wrong. It's yeah, that's really new AC/DC. I think that's from the 90s. All right, now on a better note, a lighter and more encouraging note, Breitbart is reporting that the Hilton Hotel chain has decided to eliminate all adult films and pornography from its on-demand TV offerings in their hotel room. This is according to the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. Dawn Hawkins, executive director there, says she's grateful that the hotel chain will no longer seek profits from hardcore pornography online on demand in their rooms. They did, yes. And apparently the National Center on Sexual Exploitation has been running a campaign, and thousands of people had contacted Hilton on their websites over the past couple of years to state their opposition to the availability of pornography in the hotel rooms. I know my pastor and a number of other pastors had been involved in this and had talked about this. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation has subsequently removed the Hilton Hotel chain from its list of leading contributors to sexual exploitation, otherwise known as its Dirty Dozen list. Yes, their list comprises 12 primary contributors to sexual exploitation, including American Apparel, American Library Association, Backpage.com, CKE Restaurants, Cosmopolitan Magazine, the Department of Justice, Facebook, 50 Shades of Grey, Sex Week, Verizon, and YouTube. They're still the Dirty Dozen. The sewer hose of pornography, these people control the on valve, the flood valve. In its statement, Hilton said that adult video on demand entertainment is not in keeping with our company's vision and goals moving forward. Omni Hotels removed pornography in 1998. Marriott says it's phasing out pornography. Nordic Hotels, a Scandinavian chain, announced that it's eliminating pay-per-view pornography channels from its hotels. And then the article ends with this. Revenue from on-demand services has reportedly fallen in recent years as guests bring their own movies or stream content via hotel-provided Wi-Fi. Profits from on-demand services have dropped by half since 2007. So then now you figure out why the Paris Hilton family eliminated pornography. Because there's not enough money anymore, sweetie. Come on. Let's start charging people $30 a day for the Wi-Fi, right? What do they hit you for at I guess at certain Hilton hotels, the Wi-Fi is still free. Anyway. So anyway, they did the right thing, but and hopefully they did it for the right reason. But reading that at the end of the article was a bit of a downer. All right, now, let's see here. How much time do we have left? We have some time here. Houston, we've all heard the story. Capital murder. A man's been charged now with capital murder in the fatal shooting of Darren Goforth, a 10-year veteran of the Harris County Sheriff's Office in suburban Houston, Texas. Shannon J. Miles, who has a criminal history that includes convictions for resisting arrest and disorderly conduct with a firearm, is due in court on Monday. I suppose he has to live to see Monday. We have to get him in court. Anyway, I'm sure you know the story. The gunman approached him. He was pumping gas. Cop was in uniform pumping gas. The gunman approached him from behind, fired multiple shots, and continued to fire after the deputy had fallen to the ground. The sheriff in Harris County says our assumption is that he was a target because he wore a uniform. The sheriff is linking this shooting to heightened tension over the treatment of black people by police. Goforth was white, and Shannon Miles, the murderer, is black. And the sheriff says this is all because of the whole Black Lives Matter movement. Black Lives Matter. Yeah, well, that's what David, who's the sheriff from Milwaukee? David Clark. I like that guy. He doesn't call it the Black Lives Matter. He calls it Black Lies, L-I-E-S, Black Lives Matter. Because the whole thing is based on a lie. And Sheriff Clark is absolutely right. The sheriff there said, all lives matter, cops' lives matter too, says the sheriff. So I talked to a police officer at church this morning because I wanted to figure out how can I say this, what I'm about to say, without offending law enforcement. Because I am on the side of law enforcement, okay? We need the police. But the fact is, folks, the system has been rigged. When the proctocracy erected a crime industry, an infrastructure for the tolerance, the processing, and the profiting by lawyers, judges, and incarcerators from crime. As they've built this infrastructure over the past century, they have built a system that is guaranteed to result eventually in a police state. And it's also guaranteed to make the police growing ever more suspicious of the public. And it's guaranteed to make the public grow ever more suspicious of the police. And it can only end, unless something dramatic changes, in bloodshed, violence, and rebellion. Law enforcement is now on edge. The police are now on edge more than they were last time. And there's been half a dozen, at least, police assassinations since the black lie of the gentle giant in Ferguson, Missouri, was concocted by George Soros and people he hired. Actually, just people he hired. Since that was concocted, there's been at least a half a dozen police assassinated. And so now the police are going to be on edge. And the criminals, they become more brazen. So, and then what happens, folks, is the police, because we're tolerating such an incredible level of violence and bloodshed in our streets and lawlessness, because the police are now forced to deal with it, the police become militarized. The police become necessarily more heavy-handed because they need up-armored vehicles and they need machine guns and they need bulletproof vests and they almost have to look like a United States Marine Corps infantry brigade because the proctocracy has created a war in our streets at various times and in various places. The lawyers have built an environment of criminality, necessitating a warlike footing amongst the police, and then the media and the George Soros people, they turn around and say, well, the police are scaring us because they're putting on military uniforms and they're using military vehicles. The police are being called upon to deal with a level of violence and bloodshed that there's only one way you deal with it. You put on your bulletproof vest, you have an automatic weapon, you have an up-armored vehicle, and you roll into the riot that has been fomented by the same lawyers, judges, media figures, billionaires, and people who turned in Jews in Hungary in World War II to the Nazis. Those people, those same people criticize the police when they've created a situation that makes the police have to become militarized. I'm amazed, frankly, that there aren't more police killing more people in more short-sighted situations. I think the police do a great job of maintaining. One policeman got himself beat unconscious because he was afraid to shoot somebody last week or the week before. So, folks, the system is rigged to end badly. And so, what's the answer? How are we going to avoid this impending conflagration that is coming? And it's growing day by day. It's percolating. It's festering. It's like the dome of a volcano that ebbs and flows and burps and smokes and every once in a while explodes. And one day it's going to blow. How do we avoid it? Well, I think it starts with one man standing up and insisting that we cannot continue to murder innocent people. We cannot do it. And maybe that one man will stand up and do that this election cycle. Maybe there's a sheriff somewhere. Maybe there's a governor somewhere who will stand up and say, this far and no further, this is where it ends. And I'm willing to draw the line and risk my life, my honor and my sacred fortune right now, right here, because this is going to end. And then perhaps the system that the proctocracy built somehow can be deactivated so that the lawyers and the sex perverts don't end up killing us all. ESPN has suspended Kurt Schilling for comparing Islamists to Nazis. Is there anything more you need to say about ESPN? The comparison of the Nazis to the Islamics is not only obvious to anyone with a brain, but there is actually a connection between radical Islam and the Nazis. The Grand Mufti of Jerusalem back during World War II, who was he buddies with? The Nazis. Who were the Islamist Arabs? Who were they allied with? The Nazis. So it's not only an obvious comparison, it's a historically accurate comparison, and Kurt Schilling has been suspended for it. By the way, we don't have ESPN in our home. We block it. The only way we will unblock ESPN is if Tim Tebow plays for the Eagles, we will unlock ESPN for that game and that game alone. And we honor Kurt Schilling for having the courage to just speak the truth. It's getting difficult to even speak the truth anymore. I don't want to do this. All right, let's finish with Stephen Hawking. He has a new theory, Stephen Hawking. That's what he does, right? He sits around in his wheelchair, and he dribbles on himself, and he comes up with crackpot theories as he slowly lurches deeper and deeper into insanity. His new theory is that black holes are in fact, well, listen to this. I'll let Mr. Hawking's computer speak for itself. The existence of alternative histories with black holes suggests that black holes may actually be, are you ready? A way of getting through to an alternate universe. Yes, I wish I had reverb. A way of getting through to an alternate universe. Verse. I can't. I have a reverb knob here on the board, but I'm going to have to train my extremely attractive audio engineer in the use of effects in the coming weeks. He says the existence of alternative histories with black holes suggests that this might be possible. They might be a gateway into an alternate universe. He says the black hole would need to be large, and if it was rotating, it might have a passage to another universe, but you couldn't come back to our universe from that one. Yes. He proposed that the information... Hawking's proposal is an attempt to answer a problem that has tormented physicists about what happens to things when they go beyond the event horizon, where even light can't get back. The information about the object has to be preserved, scientists believe, even if the thing itself is swallowed up. And that paradox has puzzled scientists for decades. Can you believe that people sit around and they worry about things like this, and they make $120,000 a year at a university to worry about silliness like this? Well, Hawking has proposed that the information is actually stored on the boundary at the event horizon. And that means it never makes its way into the black hole and so never needs to make its way out again. That would also mean that humans might not disappear if they fall into a black hole. They would either stay as a hologram on the edge or fall out somewhere else. So Hawking says in conclusion, if you feel you are in a black hole, don't give up. There's a way out.
What?
Stephen Hawking is in a black hole. Straight to hell. And he is going insane trying to intellectually comprehend his failure and his sins instead of just saying he's sorry. You could just say you're sorry, Steve, and you wouldn't have to drive yourself to lunacy and madness and to the point of ridicule from normal people. Stephen Hawking, all right, I'm waiting for the Stephen Hawking to just erupt in complete insanity. We will be here to cover it. Should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, at TheologyOnline.com. I'm forgetting who my friends are. TheologyOnline.com. And who's the other one? American Right to Life. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. As I said, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.